lovely piece. I love the nice introduction there.
That's a beautiful introduction. I will just say a couple of words and then play a little bit of it again. I just wanted to give the flavor and then play it again after I've said a couple of words about it. So the this opening is astonishing in that opening fragment occurs in almost every bar, and actually occurs in almost every bar of the piece, and that's actually the opening motive of the chorale upon which this cantata is based. So Lord Jesus Christ, True Man and God, which is a funeral hymn, isn't actually found in any of our English language hymnals, mm-hmm. But it's a very rich hymn, and the text is heard verbatim in the opening movement and the final movement, and paraphrased in the inner movements. So as I said, the chorale tune in fragment is heard in every bar, and it's in short notes, dee-dee-da-da-dee-dee-dee-da, and in longer note values when the choir comes in. We'll hear that in 1 second. But beyond that, what's amazing in this is that Bach adds in long note values and barely heard, unless one is really paying attention, the German Agnus Dei, so in really long note values, that permeates the texture. It starts out in the middle of the texture in the strings, and then migrates up to the oboes, and eventually very high up to the recorders. So symbolically beautiful, because not only is, from a theological standpoint, too. I mean, not only is this the true man and true God, he's also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and brings freedom and peace. And the final layer is in the bass line. There's yet another chorale tune that is quoted, and it's so very clearly, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, being quoted in the bass line over and over. you know, one might say this, how clever of him, what a gimmick. But no, I mean, what he's obviously doing theology here. I mean, he is, again, presenting as full a picture as he can as a musician of who this Christ is. And it's, of course, the amazing thing with Bach, too, is that it comes out and it's something that's startlingly stirring. The movement is not one that is dark or plangent or keening. It's actually just, it's radiant. It's all about release. So maybe we can just hear a little bit of that opening.
Sure.
And then, so that we can hear what I just talked about, and then we'll jump ahead a little bit. From this opening movement, the other couple of movements that I would just like to talk about in this piece, before I mention a few things about the others, is the middle piece, the soprano aria, which is an astonishing piece. It's, one might say that it's sort of an evocation of the solitary individual facing his or her own death. And the comfort that Jesus brings to this, it's a soprano in this case, so we might say to her. And the text for this is very simple and very pure. I'll just read it. So my soul rests in the hands of Jesus, though earth covers this body. Call me soon, you funeral bells. I am not terrified to die, since my Jesus will awaken me. One might expect something that's rather dark, maybe, and languid here. And there's a plangency to the opening section, but the middle section, which talks about the funeral bells, is again, just like the opening movement, radiant and all about release. And what I want to play is that little section there in that movement where you will actually hear the bells clanging in the strings, plucked strings. So maybe we can just hear that. So as you hear, as you heard, the beginning of that section was in the minor mode, and then all of a sudden got bright and went to the major before returning to the minor after that long suspended note in the oboe. And what I would say here is that the oboe and the singer are unfolding essentially in the same register. And the oboe begins this and ends this piece. And I would say that the oboe represents the Christ who has walked the way before, the way of suffering before, and leads in that and is there supporting. I mean, as the aria unfolds, the oboe is twined in some ways with the singer, supporting that the human the human being in a period of trial and eventually taking them to that place of release. So the way that Bach is able to do that sonically is as ever astonishing.
Very nice.
So that's one of the pieces. I will just say one more thing about this this cantata, which is just so rich. After this, a bass aria takes a completely different turn, and the bass often in Bach will stand for Christ himself. And the text makes it quite clear that that is indeed the case. And the sound of the last trumpet all of a sudden becomes part of the narrative. And here, Bach evokes that with a trumpet all of a sudden sounding, and strings signifying bluster, moving very quickly, and sort of one hears this, that gets the sense of all things shattering and falling to earth. And in the midst of that storm, Jesus all of a sudden quiets everything. And he says, truly, truly, I will take care of you. And then the bluster starts again, and he quiets it again, and it starts again, and he quiets it again. Again, very simple and direct, but the participatory nature of that for the audience makes it register deeply as an experience, I think, of what that might be like for all of us, or will be like eventually, walking through that difficult time in each of our lives. So, maybe we can listen just a little bit of that?
Certainly.
Fürwahr, euch sage ich, fürwahr, euch sage ich. Wenn Himmel und Erde in Feuer vergehen,
you're right. It certainly does. I don't know how to describe it, but you can see me moving. Is
exactly
lighting up.
Yep, absolutely. And so this cantata actually at the end closes in a rather quiet manner, similar to the opening, actually, and prayerfully ends with the words, may our faith also always be brave to trust mm-hmm. firmly in your word until we sleep in blessedness. So beautiful conclusion to that, to this cantata. There are two other cantatas here. The final one is the one I will just mention very briefly. And this would have been also for Quinquagesima, as I mentioned. So this is true, You True God and Son of David. This is a cantata that Bach actually composed in 1723 as an audition piece for the job in Leipzig. It's probably may not be known, but he was not the first choice. He was actually the third choice for the job in Leipzig. And it would be interesting to consider what it might have been like had he not mm-hmm. gotten that position. He may not have written the St. Matthew Passion or the St. John Passion or all these cantatas. So I think the musical landscape would potentially be quite dramatically different. Returning to the piece itself, since that's what that's what matters here. Just as in 127, Bach inserts the German Agnus Dei, and he does it very overtly in the final chorale, which is a chorale fantasia that he also reused in the second version of the St. John Passion. But he also inserts in a very, what might say, clever way, but in a very beautiful and expressive way, this very tune in long note values. Again, I did say dissimulates it because one doesn't necessarily pick it up in the tenor recitative and in long note values, also in the penultimate chorus. And so maybe we can just listen to the tenor recitative, and I would just invite the listeners to listen to the oboe and violin part in very long note values and see if you can discern the Just listen on the note values.
Is this at the beginning of the cantata?
This would be in the second excerpt that I gave you, Andy.
At seven?
So,
okay.
At seven.
All right. Great timing. We have just about a minute left.
So I think you may have heard in long note values, again, the Christe du Lamm Gottes. The reason I'm bringing this up is that the thread that runs through this whole concert is Christ as Lamb of God. Just to show also how Bach's theology informed everything, mm-hmm. informs his compositional process. It informs what he's trying to do also in these musical sermons, one might say. And at the very fabric, at the very core of all of this music is the Christ, who is... So the Christocentrism of the music and is what I mainly wanted to bring up. So.
Bach at the SEM coming up this Sunday, February 7th, 3 p.m. Conductor Dr. Maurice Boyer. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning. Always great to have you in studio. Love the music you bring.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. Again, 3 p.m. at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. You're listening to His Time.